Oh, explain for me the term wall-to-wall carpeting.
I don't have wall-to-wall carpeting.
Oh, but what does that mean, really?
It covers the entire floor.
I feel like it should cover the ceiling.
No, that would be a wall-to-wall ceiling.
Okay.
I know. I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert. You should probably Siri or Google this.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll sort it out for next week. And welcome to episode 507 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
What's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
Smoke. A lot of smoke.
I've seen pictures. It doesn't look good.
No. If you like smoke, it's good.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you like the smell of a campfire all the time, it's good. Yeah,
I barely like the smell of a campfire when I'm camping.
Right. Yeah.
Like okay. It looks terrible. I mean, you get at least getting some nice sunsets. I don't know.
No, you're not. You can hardly ever see the sun. When you do see the sun, it's kind of eerie, like I don't know, a vampire or werewolf movie. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to go away soon. Let blow this smoke to the East Coast. That's what we're chanting over here.
Or just no more fires.
Oh, that too. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, East Coasters.
Yeah, we don't really have that here. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. We had forest fires in BC when I lived there 13 years ago.
Yeah.
But not like this.
Yeah. And this is not, I mean, there's some of it is local, but a lot of it's Oregon, Washington, like, you know, the whole coast is on fire, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah. So, Corona.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get just all the hell, the happy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I know between, okay, you know, like the COVID masks, and now, like, you probably need a full, I don't know, a full fired hazard suit.
Scuba suit.
Yeah, we'll be safe. We'll be safe if we just, or just, you know, wrap yourself in bubble wrap and poke a few holes.
All right, 2020, let's end this one early. I'm proposing that we just do New Year's Eve on October 31st.
Sure, yeah, let's
cancel
move on.
Halloween, do it then, and we're just starting fresh. Enough now.
Yeah.
This is enough. Okay.
All right.
Amazon, if you need a respirator, like for what he called, not a ventilator, a respirator, like the one you use for, I fumbled that.
Yeah. Just when the air quality's poor, something to
help.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, filter.
Charcoal inserts.
Yeah, sure. A good filter.
Okay, you need to get your charcoal inserts, get it on Amazon, click through our site, help us out. I've not bought anything on Amazon in a while. I'm sure they miss me.
I imagine so. They've got an Al reader that says, uh-oh, 3 days since his last purchase. Get on it, buddy.
Okay, they have an everybody reader that says that.
Yeah.
It's somebody told me, hey, have you seen that social dilemma documentary on Netflix? Oh, you gotta see it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, like, I don't think I do need to see it, but I did. I watched like the first 15 minutes and I was like, you know, we all knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wondered about it too. I thought, well, are they going to tell me anything I don't know that my phone and everything that electronic I have is listening to me and telling me to buy stuff?
Yeah. they're purposely making it addictive so that you'll stay on and buy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, what about chocolate? Is that delicious? What else do you got for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of saw that coming. But anyway, so I didn't get to, I saw it like you, I saw it on there and I was like, ah, come on. And then someone really recommended it to me. And I was like, all right, well, you're all jerks and liars. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, moving on. But anyways, click through our site, help us out. I had a nice baseboard rant. I did the baseboards in my office today.
Okay.
And I had a great rant all lined up about customer service and stuff from the guy. I had a crazy exchange with a guy who works at the Home Depot.
Okay.
I'm thinking I'm going to spare it.
I was so getting jacked up. Like, you were just, that was a teaser. That was like a trailer for Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the new Top Gun that will never come out.
Yeah. That's a shame.
In retrospect, I think you have to live in Germany to appreciate the level to which this is amusing. And since you don't,
What about our massive German listener base? They're losing
out. There's some, but yeah. they will appreciate what I did to the social dynamic. The social fabric was torn by me, and it's just. But I'm telling you, out of context, like for you, it wouldn't resonate.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Point is, I went to a different store and bought. I was going to buy my baseboards there, and I didn't. I bought them in a different store.
This is all because of like the big altercation. So now they have a picture of you up on the wall or something from last time.
They even have my home phone number and address. I'm not joking. They do.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh no! It wasn't because of the altercation. No. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So easy to forget about from a week ago.
2 weeks, but oh. Yeah. No, I've had multiple altercations since then. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, well, I've decided I'm not putting up with the nonsense anymore.
Okay, so you're going, what is it, like you're vigilante now?
I'm taking over, I'm the understudy for Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
With the big thick glasses.
Oh yeah, baseball bat, come on, I'm set. Get a briefcase, we're good. Anyways. Yeah. Meanwhile, so I gave you the update last week. I tore the floor out of my office, redid the floor, and I have a big giant desk that I don't care for, and I didn't want to put it back. I just said I'm getting rid of it. But meanwhile, I'm going to build like a full office, like with, you know, cabinets and bookshelves and a built-in desk, and basically have all the wires hidden away, but I have all my gear in one area, right? That's my plan.
Okay.
Not today though. I don't know if you know this, that takes a while.
Sure.
To make all those cuts and all those, oh yeah, and the doors and everything. Drawers take a while.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. So meanwhile, I needed a desk. I didn't want to put the other one back in. So I thought, I'm just going to make myself a temp desk just to get me through until then. I want something nice. And so my plan was, I'm going to go and see how cheap I can make this desk. Like, what's it going to cost me for the wood, lumber, and all the materials, lumber, paint, and stain, essentially, and make the desk. So I did. I made it over the in a weekend. And I put a couple of pictures up there for you.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Well, I haven't got there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Just you know, talk amongst yourselves for a second. Okay. Yes. All right. I'm looking now. What should I be commenting on?
I don't know. First of all, it's all 100% wood, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I designed it. I didn't want any drawers in the front. I just wanted a very simple desk to take my, you know, a computer and monitor and whatnot.
Looks like but a I table.
It's not. Okay. I'm doing work at it, and okay. I eat at a table, and now I'm working at the desk.
Okay, so I see.
It's not a table, but if you look at the front has no right. cross beam on the bottom, and the back does.
Other than that, I'd say, and there's a cross beam on the legs, which typically you wouldn't see on a table.
Right. So I guess I could have done a cross beam across the middle instead of the back, and then it could have been a table.
Sure.
However, if you notice, like on the back picture, there is a, I cut, I left like a hidden shelf to put all the cables, power bar and everything like that hides in the back of the desk.
Gotcha.
So... there's that. Again, very, very simple. Like there's nothing fancy about this desk. It's very, very simple, but I made it for under $40.
Nice.
Yeah. And so the good news is, and so my thinking was, okay, I can use this for you know, now. And when I do not wish for it anymore, I can either give it to my son, or if he doesn't want it, I'm sure I could sell this.
Yeah.
I just gave away the price of what I paid, though. Although mm-hmm. I did work on it for 2 days, so I'm not going to sell it for $40.
Yeah, you got to factor in the labor.
Which is okay, because I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I really, really, really love doing this.
Okay, so that's good.
So, anyways, there's my temp desk. That's my woodworking update. And then you can see the baseboards behind it. Those are now in. This was taken yesterday. Those baseboards have now been installed.
Yes.
Not fun. Not a fun install. I don't know when's the last time you installed baseboards?
I don't do that.
Yeah, nor should you, because especially here, because we have like stone walls, essentially, like masonry, and mm-hmm. so you can't. It's like it, you know, in North America, nail gun, boom, 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 off you go. You're set. You're doing that in an hour. These ones, you have to install these little clips so that you then clip these on the wall, and then and the walls aren't exactly straight. It's there's a reason you don't do it, Adam, and you made the right call.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, it's all done now, though. Yay.
Yay.
What else? Oh. Well, point being, I still have a little echo in the office, though, till I get it all populated with all my stuff. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Played a little baseball on Sunday.
Nice.
Last games of the year. We won both, which was nice. Had a weird day. Got a couple hits, but ended up with 4 walks on the day.
That's not fun.
That's a lot. No, it's not fun. But on base percentage, pretty good.
Sure.
So there's that.
All the scouts.
That's what's going on.
I was gonna say all the scouts in the plus 50 league are really just, you know, crunching the numbers on your on base percentage.
Yeah. Well, on base plus slugging. That's a big stat.
All right.
They're big into that stat, but that wasn't huge this time. So there's that. Yeah, that's you're up to date in Tubingen.
Awesome. Although,
I mean, we are having no smoke. We've got nice weather. Like it's like 32 degrees or something like that, which is crazy for September. And then, you know, the end. Kids are back to school finally.
Nice.
We were going to talk about that last week, but how are your kids going back to school? Is everything normal?
Well, other than masks, yeah, I'd say so.
Oh, they take masks to school?
Yep. They in high school, Sarah says they pretty much wear it all day long. Like they don't have to, but everyone does. And and in Jack's school,
well, the good news is like that's peak. That's right in your acne phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everyone you know scores a couple of extra notches on the good looking scale.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's not bad. Although does the mask promote acne though?
Maybe might just all the sweat that's going to accumulate there. Yeah, I don't know. But Jack's school, elementary school, they just kind of wear it. I think in the hallways or where they can't social distance. I think you have the option if you feel comfortable and you want to wear the mask in the classroom, you can. But they are social distanced in the classroom, so they can take it off. So
okay,
yeah. But gotcha. I think they're both liking it, and the return to school, I think so far so good.
Right. Okay. Have they done a school photo yet? Like the class photo?
No. And I kind of doubt that they'll do.
I guess they don't do that in grade 8 anymore, do they? You don't really have a class photo.
No, I don't think you get your individual ones, but they haven't done it yet. I don't know what point in the year they'll do it. I imagine they'll still do that.
Right. Okay. I was just thinking about that because I was going to offer to do the ones at my kid's school. And like I did last at the end of the year last year. And I took two. I took one with a mask, one without.
Sure.
Because it's like, you know, obviously you want one without, but it's like, yeah, you have them with because this was happening at this point. You want to kind of remember it, really.
Yeah.
Like we're going to forget.
Yeah.
Weird time. Yeah, my kids are back in school, and which I was hoping would calm them down a little bit because my kids are going insane. But they're doing fine. They do the masks as well. This similar to what you just described for Jack. Like in and out of the school, in the hallways, I guess. And then they separate the kids. The kids only play it, like at recess, they only play with their own class.
Yeah, the same thing. They have the cohorts for going outside.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, all things being equal, it's so far so good in Germany anyways. I know surrounding countries are having a bit of a blow up, but Germany a little bit high, but not outlandish yet. As we're recording this, who knows when this airs on Monday what happens. But anyway, that's Germany. You're up to snuff now.
Great.
Reminder, monthly challenge is window light. Hashtag that, two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers on the Instagram. Even better, do both of those and tag us at two hosers, and we'll be sure to check that out at the end of the month. Did you shoot anything interesting?
No. Is that surprising?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not surprising at all. Yeah. Although, you should. September's a nice time to shoot.
Again, between the smoke and my schedule, it's just not happening. I apologize to all those listeners who are just chomping at the bit to see my next kind of Monday to Friday shots. Yeah. The galleries are calling. Adam, we're low on your photos.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I did shoot a number of things, a few things, a couple I'll share. Did a team photo for our first team. I no longer play on the first team because they play up in the Bundesliga, so I don't play. But took a team photo of the guys. I think it's 19 guys. What do you think of that photo? Give me your critique of this.
No, it's good. I don't really have any critique.
There's some issues.
It's pretty good. I mean, the lighting's pretty even. I mean, you can see underneath their caps, like you don't got any harsh shadows. Like for, I'm guessing this is kind of, you know, not the best time of day. So you've got the sun in behind them, it looks like.
Well, the problem, the challenge at our field is there are almost no places and no directions you can shoot that are really photographically pleasing. Like I always want to tie this in to make it, okay, we know this, we're at a baseball field. That's what we want to know for sure, right? Mm-hmm. Except there's very few elements that we can use that aren't kind of ugly. Now our park's weird because our park actually has charm collectively. Altogether, it's kind of a nice place to play.
Sure.
However, there's no one spot that looks good, no one background. So what I always do, I always shoot everybody at short, get these guys at shortstop. Every team shot I do, they stand at shortstop because we have that red dirt in the infield. And in behind, you can't see, obviously, they're blocking it, but it's where our four banners are for the retired numbers. So I'll use that for a background if I can. But like I said, in this case, they're blocking it. But we have some nice trees in the background, etc. So this is like really the only spot I can shoot. Typically, I like to shoot these in the evening, and so I'll tell them, hey guys, you know, practice on Thursday, be there a half hour early, we'll shoot this in the evening. Well, the guys didn't really feel like coming out then, so can we do it before our 2 o'clock game on Saturday, which means batting practice is at 12, which means we shoot at 11:45. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, so right at noon then. Okay.
But that's what I'm saying, and is it looks good for that.
It does, but look what's going on here. Look where their shadows are in front. Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Yeah, it really doesn't bother me here.
Okay, but typically when we're shooting this at 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night, the sun is really far camera right, and there will be shadows, and they'll fall in behind the guys, so they're really distracting. It's a nice red dirt in the front, but okay, fine. So I got the guys all set up, and I actually grabbed the little broom that we use to drag the infield, and I actually got rid of their footprints in front. So you can see it's nice and smooth there.
Mm-hmm.
Now where they're standing, there's a little bit of footprints. Yeah, oh well, yeah. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
but that's that. But so this was the X100, of course. This is the greatest camera I find for taking group photos because of the, especially in the sunshine like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the leaf shutter, you can basically get this to, you know, I think I end up taking this at 1/500th of a second at like an f/5.6. I wanted to get enough depth of field to make sure everyone's razor sharp, which I probably could have got away with. It might be an f/4. I think it's an f/4, which works with this lens. It works great. Everyone stays in focus, and at an f/4, you can get enough fill light with off-camera flash in umbrellas.
Nice.
And that's what I have. Camera right, camera just out of frame, camera right, just out of frame, camera left. I have two of my SB28s with one quarter CTO on them. One's a CTO, one's a straw, close enough. And then they're on full power, but in umbrellas, which is what provides the fill on the face without looking lit. So that's how you get it. I would have liked a nice crisp blue sky with some white clouds instead of that little kind of light blue haze that was there. Saved it best I could. But ultimately, in the end, I was pretty happy with this one. One of the better ones I've taken. Everyone kind of lines up nicely. Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
At the same time, I said, okay, once we're done that, we're going to head out into the out to right field where I normally shoot them. Out in right field is, again, in the evening, there's a big tree just past the outfield fence that casts a large shadow on the field. And then in behind, you can see just out of focus are the banners I was telling you about, the retired numbers.
Yeah.
So that's my move, is I shoot that and keep those in the background, but the shadow casts across them. And then I can light them up. Well, again, noon, no shadow, which means great top light on the hats. Mm-hmm. Like the brim of the hat looks nice. The his fancy hair looks great, all backlit by the sun. And now I've basically got the flash in, again, full power, two flashes, one on each side. You can tell by the light in his eyes, the catch lights. One on each side in an umbrella. And now I'm shooting with the 5D Mark III and the 70-200 because I want to get in nice tight portrait. The X100, not great for portraits. And so that's how I shot these. Now, you might not be able to tell on the smaller version, but I ran into a focus problem again.
Oh, no.
And I can't tell if it was user error because like it was such blazing sunshine. Like it was just hammering down. And so I couldn't really tell, like I couldn't even basically tell in the eyepiece if it was in focus. I'm focusing on the eyes. I'm using a tripod.
Mm-hmm.
I'm racked out to 200 to really compress that the ugly background, to not just compress it, but blur it out. And so I'm focusing on the eyes and recomposing slightly, but on the tripod. And basically every one is slightly soft. So if you look down at the letters tubing in, You can see that that is razor sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas his eyes, a couple millimeters physically back of that, they are slightly soft, which I cleaned up with a little sharpening when I resized the images, but I wasn't super happy.
Yeah. Even his nose is sharp and his mouth is sharp.
Yeah. But his hair looks sharp though too. So I can't really tell.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on. And I think this one might have been user error.
His hat sharp, like it is weird. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it something going on. It could have been that lens combo. Maybe I should have used a different lens. I tried to do live view and basically check the focus, but it was so bright I couldn't even see the screen.
Yeah.
So it's just completely impossible. Did the best I could. Now the images are fine. They you know no one can tell. It's me for one, and then when I pointed out, obviously you can see it too.
Yeah, but it's very passable.
Yeah, but I don't want to be passable. I want to be good at stuff.
Gotcha.
I don't want to be good for a bad photographer. I want to be a good photographer.
Right. Okay, you've got work to do, son.
All right, and then the other thing is my son suited up for his very first baseball game ever.
Okay.
Now, he's played in a little sort of T-ball thing before, but this was his first time playing with the big kids. Real baseball, first time ever. So I snapped. I actually ended up helping the coach that day because the kid he normally coaches with was not available. So not only did I have to coach, I had my camera out there taking pictures at the same time.
Like nice. A bit of a hayseed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not as big a hayseed as my son wearing orange shoes,
mm-hmm. but the kid behind him is wearing red, so he's definitely he's fine.
It's a gong show here. Kid behind him, where the oh yeah. So going up there, there's the one him getting ready, just getting loose.
Yeah,
Yeah, like that one. And then my favorite one actually is him putting his jersey on for the first time. He's had his jersey on before, but first time before a game wearing daddy's number. So that was exciting.
Very exciting.
Of course, for me.
Sure.
Of course, there was already a number eight on the team. So we had two number eights and a number eight coach. So it looked a bit weird. Okay. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And we get him getting loose in the cage forehand.
Yeah.
Pretty good stroke. What do we got next? Oh, there he is out in left field.
It looks like the kid in front of him is adjusting his cup.
Probably. Yeah. Probably, yeah. Well, the kid in front of him, so that's the thing is my son's not ready for this league yet. I'll be perfectly honest. He's 6 years old, and he should not be playing in the 12-year-old league. Like, how old's Jack?
He's 11.
Okay, when does he turn 12?
Oh, he turned 11 in whatever it was, March.
Okay, so then technically Jack has one more year in this league. Like, next season would be Jack's last year in this league.
Right.
So this is my six-year-old son playing with whoever the kids are a year older than Jack.
Yeah, that would be a bad idea here.
Yeah, it's not a great idea here either. It's just that there's nothing in between.
Right.
Like, the way it works, like, they don't have as many leagues. And so, like, I'm not under the illusion that, oh, yeah, my six-year-old belongs here. However, he doesn't really, like, belong below that either. So it's kind of a problem. So, yeah, so they're, that kid's 12, and there's my six-year-old. And he had a great time, though. You know, like, see all those balls I got in left field, Dad? I was like, yeah, yeah, you let him get past you, and you went and picked him up at the fence. You did a good job.
How old is the kid in the photo where he's batting? There looks like another kid that looks like 6 or 7.
No, he's a little bit older. I think he's about 9 or 10.
Oh, wow.
The kid on deck, yeah.
Yeah, he is little.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good kid, the American kid.
Okay. But, all right. Well, that excuses anyways. It. Yeah. So, no, yeah, so when I saw the photo and I'm like, oh, the bat catcher looks like in his full crouch, looks like when he stands up, he'll be a foot taller than both your kid and the kid in the on deck circle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. So there's my son taking a monster hack. It looks like he's looking where the ball's going, but the kid on deck is actually looking where the ball is, and that's right in the catcher's glove. Yeah, so I even because my son he's never had a real at bat before. Like, I've thrown balls to him and stuff like that, wiffles, but he's never had a real at bat. And so, like, in the cage beforehand, you can see him ripping the ball. He was fine, like, you know, taking batting practice, no problem. Got in the game and was just confused, like, just did not know what to do. And so I made him wear the cage with the mask the first time. I was like, yeah, I don't even think you'll get out of the way of the ball if it comes at your face. I don't know that you know to get out. So he wore the cage, first AB, first pitch, ripped a double down the right field line.
Nice.
I wish. Really, really struck out on three pitches.
Well, at least he saw three strikes. That's good.
Yeah, he hacked at all three. In fact, yeah. he had two at-bats that day. He struck out on six pitches. He swung at all three.
Good.
Two of them were strikes. Two of them were clear over his head. But I'm not a big fan of the kids who just go up there and refuse to hack. So oh, I don't know.
100% agree. Like, yeah. Way rather they swing. I hate walks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't have walks here. This is the only thing about this league is it's actually pretty cool because there's no pitching machine league here. So what they do is the kids pitch, but if you get walked, the coach then comes, like, your own coach comes in and basically lobs you a soft toss.
Gotcha.
And then you get three hacks at that, and then nice. You get to kind of whack it out there. So it's actually not a bad system. Yeah, but my son was not. He was not waiting around for no walk. He's first three. He's hacking.
Right.
Yeah. Wasn't close. It wasn't like he almost hit them. However, he had a great time. Like the team we played, they're an excellent team. They're like basically all 11, 12-year-olds. They've been playing together for a long time. It's in Stuttgart, and so like they have they're a big city. They have a big draw. And they kicked the absolute heck out of our kids. Like, just walloped them. I think the final score was 27 buzz.
Yikes.
Yeah, we were the buzz, not the 27. And but all our kids had fun.
Nice.
Except tell me about this. Tell me, because we play them again on the weekend coming up, and I got to go coach, and there might be yet another altercation for me to talk about. I'm calling it now, because if it happens, it's like I'm in my second ever kids game coaching. I'm going to lose it.
Okay.
I want you to tell me about this real quick. I'll try to be quick now, too late. But point is, you're allowed 5 runs per inning. That's the deal. You get a 5-run limit. Okay?
Yeah. That's same as us. That's how we play.
However, the last play goes to completion. So if you have 4 runs in and bases loaded and the kid hits a grand salami, you're allowed to score 8 runs that inning.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. I understand. Don't take it from the kids. Well, you know, there'll be a runner on third with no one on first or second, no one out with 4 runs in. Kid'll rope a double in the gap. Coach will just hold the runner at third.
Oh yeah, that's garbage.
Keep doing that until he loads him up, and then bam, and if he pulls that, it's not going to work out.
I'm gonna lose it. That's pretty dumb. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Let me say we've been playing a bunch of baseball as well, and just quick story so I can brag about my kid playing up again with like he's the youngest player on his team playing up with the best 12-year-olds, and the baseball is really good. Like I am amazed at how good the ball is right now. But anyways, so his first
let me put that in context. The team that we play, these 12 and under guys in Stuttgart, they are very, very good and very, very cocky. And I wanted to point out to them that your son's team would mop the floor with them.
Well, I just the level of pitching and just the fielding, like again, we're playing on bigger diamonds. They're stealing now. Like this is Pee Wee baseball. It looks legit. Like there's pickoffs and like, you know, the kids can play. They all throw a secondary pitch. They can usually throw it for a strike. So, you know, you're throwing batter's timing off. So anyways, like Jack is really improved in this last year from a hitting standpoint. He was always a pretty good all round, you know, defensive player. And, you know, playing up with the better pitching, like I'd say he was kind of in the bottom third of the hitting when he's playing up with these kids. And he's really improved his hitting, so he's moved up a fair amount. He hit some home runs in summer ball, so his confidence is riding high. First time we've played another association team in a year, because it's all just been like scrimmaging within your own team, your own association. So they played last weekend, and he's again riding high. He's been hitting the ball really well in practice, and anyways, it comes up to his first at bat. I think he's batting like 7th. I think we've got 10 or 11 kids on the roster. So he's batting kind of like 2/3 of the way down, which is probably about right. Anyways, I tell him, because I'm one of the coaches, and I use that term loosely because I'm kind of more of a help get him ready, help, you know, just as a glorified helper. But anyways, so I'm standing next to him because there's no dugout or anything. And I say, you know, look at the two kids in right field and center. Like, you know, they're bigger, slower kids. Like, hit it in that gap and it's an automatic triple, because he's a left-handed hitter, so he's hitting out to right field. If he hits it in that gap, it's going to go to the fence, and then that's a long relay throw to make to third. So I said, you know, hit it in the gap and you got an easy triple, and first pitch just massacres one into the gap over their heads. And normally I think if we hadn't had this discussion, he might pull up at second, because the guy gets the ball, makes the relay. But I'm like, you hit in that gap, you're going 3 no matter what. And, you know, it was a relatively close play at third, but yeah, got the sliding triple on the first pitch. So I was super impressed at the fact that we just talked about it, and that was the only triple in the game, but like right on cue, first pitch, hit the triple.
Now Jack should understand from a personal standpoint that if you get gunned at third, you still get a double.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Always go the extra base. You know, in all honesty, that's what I do. I do teach the kids I coach, and I'll teach my son, is when you hit a single to the outfield, when you get older, not when you're taking advantage of lesser players, but when you're playing in a high caliber league and you hit the ball like a single to the outfield, don't be satisfied. You look for two. Like you come in, you go as hard as you can to first, take a big turn, and you force them. And you'll be surprised how often you can take that second base.
Or
in this case, third.
I love aggression. I love base running aggression. Yeah.
as I explained to all the kids, who the kids I watch on our team, the young guys who take strike three looking quite often, and the umpires in our in Germany not great, and so you have to know that. But in Canada too, you get bad calls. I don't like watching guys strike out looking. I think I've done it in my life. If I set the over under at 4.5 on number of times I've struck out looking in my life, I'd probably take the under. I've swung at ball four before, but I would rather a guy swing at ball four than watch strike three.
Yes.
That's a guy who that's a kid. If kid who swings at that, that's a kid you can coach. That's a kid who's aggressive and wants to win. So I'm glad to hear Jack lead off triple. That's awesome.
He's a first pitch swinger, which sometimes their coach doesn't like. But I mean, my motto is if the first pitch is a good pitch, you might not see another good pitch to hit. So anything that's a good pitch, it doesn't matter whether it's first, second, third, 3-0 count. If you see a pitch to hit at this age anyway, it's like, yeah. We're definitely pro swinging and not seeing pitches. And it's one thing if you're playing in a, you know, a massive game with the game on the line and, like, you know, a knockout game or something where you might be a little bit more selective. But at this age, when it's all about development, it's, you know, go looking to hit. Don't look to walk.
At this age for the next, not even walk, but at this age for the next 7-8 years, you should be a first pitch hitter if you can. Because the pitchers just aren't going to... We'll talk about this off the air. We're getting out of photo stuff.
Yes. So
last photo is I got a picture of me and my son at the park in Stuttgart on our first day. So
nice.
It was kind of weird me being the first base coach and taking pictures during the game. Looked kind of silly, but oh well.
Sure.
Tough break. Okay. So yeah, shot a bunch of stuff. Interesting. All right. Photo challenge this month was based on last week's show, which was Candid Portrait.
Right.
I think yours is more of a portrait than mine. Let's have a look at yours.
Okay, there's mine. This was taken half an hour before the podcast when I realized I didn't have a photo. And I said, all right, which one of you between my son and daughter is going to volunteer to take a candid portrait? And my daughter said, well, you can take a photo of me while I get ready for school. And I said, done. And there you have it. She's doing her hair. She's straightening her hair. So that is a straightening iron. And she's straightening her hair, but I just like the, again, I've used this LED mirror in the past, but I just like the LED mirror is providing most of the light in the frame. There is an overhead light as well. And so this is all just the light in her room, nothing fancy, just focused on the mirror, just played around with what the angle I wanted in order to get, you know, her in the photo, in the foreground, out of focus, and then, you know, the mirror as the point of focus.
So that's your daughter in the mirror and then your wife in the other side, it looks like to me.
Huh?
It looks like your wife from behind there.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
It looks like it, like, my wife has seen your daughter and said, oh my goodness, she looks like Lisa, but especially in from behind the hair and everything like that, like I was like, wow, I knew what it was, I knew what I was looking at, but I was like kind of shocked, like holy smokes,
there you go. I didn't see it until you said it, but I agree, they just the same kind of like facial symmetry, I guess.
Oh yeah, the same chin, the same like jawline and the hair and whatnot. They both have hair, right? That's a thing. Genetics.
Same color too, I think.
Yeah, hard to see in black and white, but still, that was my initial thing. Like, wow, looks a lot like her. I love the LED mirror. Like that's a really cool thing. I'm wondering if I should make an LED, my own LED ring light, like just a very simple thing, just to mount. I might do that. But anyways, the only thing I would do, and I know you did this 30 minutes before, is I'd probably crop a little off the left and even the right side. Just make this more of like a 4x5 instead of a 4x6 image.
Sure.
Or 3x2, I guess, would be the ratio. That's just nitpicking. And that might just be, you know, I shoot everything 4x5 now. Maybe that's why.
All right.
But that's it. So no other light. That was just the existing light.
Yeah.
50mm lens.
Yep.
Like we talked about. It looks good because although her walls are rather bare.
Yeah. And just from this angle, I mean, we recently painted a room, I don't know, 8 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever it was. And then she's gone with a sort of a minimalist kind of look to her room. Like, she doesn't want mm-hmm. things on the walls. Before, she had a bunch of stuff on the walls, and she's kind of swung the other way now to having almost nothing up on her walls other than the mirror. She's got a, you know, a few kind of like storage pieces that she can put stuff, but she doesn't have like posters or stuff. She has sort of a thing, like a hanging area for like where she pins her photos, not really pins, clips them. She has this little clips, and she has uh-huh. a couple of wires where she has photos pinned, but they're not actually stuck to the wall or anything.
Her life's online, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Pretty much it. All right. So here's one of my kids. I'm not sure. Like, I think this qualifies for what we're talking about. You tell me.
Sure.
Okay. See, now I tried to go full portrait, and that was get a shot of my son doing his homework. I got the camera. This was taken with the 40D and the 30 mil lens, because like the 50 mil equivalent. I did that on purpose.
Okay.
Because of how we talked last week, but. I did the same setup where I got the flash out. I thought, you know what the ultimate move is? We didn't talk about it last week during Candid Portraits, was adding the bounce flash with the, especially with the black foamy thing.
Yeah.
That's a great move to get this, because it's, you know, you can really move, you get that directional light without, you know, without having a big off-camera flash setup. You can move around, etc. So I tried to get one of my son, but he was having none of it. He was just so angry at me and did not want me taking his picture while he did his homework. So we went out last night to our little, for lack of a better word, we'll call it an orchard that we have, but it's very small. So it's like, I think we have six trees. What's the word for a six tree orchard?
Sparse.
Yeah, and they're not even all the same kind of trees. Like, there's a pear tree, a plum tree, a cherry tree, apple tree, that kind of thing. There's a bunch of, you know, it spreads around.
Okay.
Right now it's plum season. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
So we went out plum picking, and so basically plum picking, it sounds like something, but really you just take that hook and put it up in the tree and shake the tree, shake the branches till they all fall down on the tarp you put down, and then pick them all up.
Right.
Which is fine, but I don't even like plums, but whatever. You got to do it. So anyways, we went out last night, had a nice little sunset and kind of a cool thing. And so obviously took a shot of my kids walking over to the plum tree.
They look excited.
They know they're on camera at this point, and right. They can't keep a straight face.
Right.
You know, so that was the funny thing where I was like, I was trying to get a candid one of them. And at this point, they ruined that. So... thanks a lot, kids.
Yeah.
But I do like the light and like all that, the way the light hits the back of their hair and lights it up. And the fact that I was able to still get enough exposure on their face and maintain sort of that kind of glow in the background. And it's all natural light, so that's all.
Looks good.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. All right, topic this week. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, in Canada, in Vancouver, and he's a shop teacher. I mean, he teaches woodwork, metalwork, stuff like that at a high school. And he was telling me about a studio, quote unquote, a studio he built for his classroom because of the whole Corona thing. And basically, what he did is the kids. But one of his metalwork class, the kids design and make their own jewelry.
Okay.
You're with me so far.
They make jewelry. Gotcha.
They make their own jewelry.
Okay.
And so they have to hand it in, but the idea is, like many other schools, they're looking for ways to limit contact. Like, you know, like, I don't know why. I don't see that being an issue. Like, you could just hand it in, but whatever. They're looking for ways to do it. So he had the idea to set up a little photo studio in the corner that they could basically snap a photo of their design and submit that. And that way he could grade that. Now, so he didn't really ask for help, but kind of mentioned it to me in a long message that he was doing that. And I'm always happy to help everybody. Like anybody I know that wants, you know, hey, what do you know about this? If I can help, I help. Heck, you know, we've done 507 of these. and we've helped, you know, 6-7 people. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it's the same people more than once.
Yeah, okay. Good point. And so anyway, so I said, yeah, but I'm always extra, especially keen to help him since he fields a lot of my woodwork slash home improvement questions.
Okay.
Like I even talked to him this morning about the baseboards. Like, hey, which way do you prefer to cut them? Upright or down? Like, so he gave me a couple little tips on how to cut 45s and stuff like that. So he's always helped me out. So I wanted to help him out. So I sent you a photo, mm-hmm. or I uploaded a photo. That's the little studio he built to shoot these items. And he said he bought a couple of desk lamps in case they need light.
Okay.
So that's it. So based on that knowledge, what are some suggestions? Do you have any suggestions about what he could do to basically maximize the output here?
Maximize the output. What do you mean?
Or just to maximize the quality, whatever it is, to do the best possible job for the kids. Where do you start? Because he has zero photography background.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's got like a black. He's got like a black sheet or black drop cloth.
I will post this on our website, by the way.
And then he's got a bunch of little posts that I'm guessing for the jewelry. They're just going to kind of hang it over.
That's what I'm assuming as well.
Okay. And the desk lamps we're not seeing in the photo.
No.
So it's going to be, I'm guessing, silver, gold, whatever, on these black backgrounds.
Correct.
And the purpose of the photos is not so much to make them, works of art from a photography standpoint, but just so he can see, the details in whatever the jewelry that they're making for grading purposes.
Right. However, if you're going to all the trouble to photograph them, why not do it well?
Okay.
Why not make them artistic? I mean, you would. So what would you do? What would you do to make the best possible photo? I mean, for, I'll give you a hint. For my first suggestion to him was, I would look for an old flash, like a SP26 would be the best you could probably pick up on Craigslist. That way you probably don't need to get a trigger. You could probably use the on camera flash. But I was suggesting getting an old flash and an umbrella. And just doing that, just very, very simple. But then I kind of talked to him about it and figured, you know what? That's not the best solution. That's going to require at least a little bit of photo guidance to get the kids, even though it could technically turn into a point and shoot situation. There's still going to be a little bit of hands-on experience or hands-on on tutelage that's necessary. And we want to avoid that. We want the kids to shoot their own photos. Mm-hmm. And there's no camera at the school.
Right.
Or in the shop class anyway. So knowing that.
Yeah, they're gonna shoot on their phone, I'm guessing, right?
That's what I said. I said, okay, you know what? You're right. Desk lamps, continuous light.
Yeah.
Definitely the way to go.
Yeah, and I'm not.
And shoot with your phone.
Well, and I don't know about desk lamps. I guess it all depends on, you know, I don't know. My, you know, visual of a desk lamp is, I don't know how much you're going to be able to control or change the position. So, in a simple scenario for me, continuous light, 100%, you know, two of those little cheap soft boxes that have like just a light bulb in them, that would be a really easy. And so you just kind of like more or less one on each side, just fanning across, that would pretty much suit every scenario. And then they'd stand with their phone more or less in the middle. You'd get nice, even light. You'd get the ability to control where that light falls on the frame so that you don't have a, you know, the background isn't necessarily all lit up. You can kind of isolate your subject from the background. So again,
I haven't seen the desk lamp. I'm assuming he's talking about like the little Pixar one with the, like the shade on it. So it is directional.
Oh, okay. So that would work. If you had one of those on each side, then that's all you would do. Just kind of one on each side, aim them down and then shoot straight on. And then you'd basically get a nice black background with whatever piece of jewelry they're photographing, kind of standing out from that background.
That's essentially what I said. I said, okay, you know what? Like you could actually get pretty good results with two of these desk lamps. First step that I told him, I gave him a couple tips. Step one, and this one, it's you probably didn't even think of it because it's just automatic for you, is bring the subject, in this case, the jewelry, as far away from the background as you can.
Right.
Now, that's not that most people's instinct who have never really shot anything is just jam it up against that background.
Right. Yeah.
So if you pull it out, now, first of all, you create depth. Even with your iPhone, you're going to create depth because you're probably going to shoot it in that portrait mode or whatever, and that'll blur out that background anyways. But you're also going to experience a nice amount of fall off from that light. And so it's not that background will fall off to black pretty fast.
Right.
So that's step one. Step two, how do you make, like, a desk lamp is pretty harsh. How do you make it soft?
Bring the light source closer to the subject.
Exactamundo. Bring it close, as close as you can. That's what I told him. Get it at, like, just millimeters out of frame, because apparent size is everything. Now, obviously, the light doesn't change size. That's not how physics works. I don't know if you knew that. But, relative to the subject, it is now much larger, and thus, it's going to be softer. Additionally, it's going to add to the fall off. Inverse square law and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nonsense at all, is it? I actually kind of like it. However, I told him, you're going to be able to control it a lot better, and it's going to fall off and not hit the background. Boom. So I kind of figured the exact same thing what you were saying, using the two lights, but I was suggesting use one sort of three-quarter, like a camera in front of the camera left, for example, but like more of a three-quarter lighting, and then use the other one, if you can position it, to create a rim light, a backlight, if you can.
Sure.
Because especially I'm looking at those little clear Lexan numbers there, those are going to be difficult to light. So you're going to have to kind of position stuff in behind. Maybe that's going to work. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's just going to highlight the dust. We'll see. But you can position that in, create a nice little rim light, and separate from your background. That's going to look really quite cool. Even a top light is going to look really cool.
Yeah.
It's just one simple light.
Especially if you're photographing something shiny like that on a black background. Top light would be fine. Yeah.
Yes. So that's going to look cool. So as I was kind of giving them tips, I was kind of getting into this. Like, you can do a lot with almost nothing here. Surprising. Like now with the new phones and everything like that, like they're outstanding. I still like to shoot with flash and everything like that to kill the ambient. So I explained to him, what ambient light is versus the light that you add, that you bring. So I said, first overall, kill the overhead fluorescence, and then just light with just the desk lamps.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last little tip, it's two more tips. One, I said basically change up the distance you have the lights. And so, for example, if you have the key light just out of frame and very close and very soft, go ahead and pull the rim light back a little bit. It will make it a little bit harder. It'll take a little bit of the edge off. It'll be weaker. And then kind of just adjust that to taste and see where you like it. The good news is it's what you see is what you get. And like, the kids are going to see it on their phone. And just basically, click on the subject they're going to shoot. It'll expose for that, and everything else should just fall off nicely. So it should be very, very simple. And then the last tip I said, head over to the art department or the theater department or whatever department you have that handles that, and see if you can grab a sheet of what's called frost, which is that white diffusion material,
mm-hmm,
that they throw over the feeder lights and whatnot. Now, it's not going to act as a softbox per se, because the whole point of a softbox is to make it larger, again, apparent size, but it will scatter the light and soften it up a little bit and just take that edge off. And just a couple of clothespins, you can clip that on the front of the key light, maybe even grab a sheet of a CTO or a half or quarter CTO. They'll have that. Maybe not CTO, but they might have an orange or something like that in the theater department, which they'll use for the lights. And you clip that on the front, and then it's going to, the front light's going to be a little bit orangey, the back light will be a little bit blue, and you're going to get some really cool results with almost nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good.
Good. know what that means, though? And that's it. You're off the races. Click, and fire away. Now, what that means is the challenge for next week, we're doing this.
What do you mean by this?
Two desk lamps and an iPhone.
Okay, I don't have really desk lamps, but I'll figure something out.
You have something similar to those?
Not really, but I'll see what I can find.
Okay, pull back and take a photo of the whole scene so we know what you did.
Okay.
I shall do the same.
Okay.
All right, that's the challenge. How do you call that? Oh yeah. Two turntables and a microphone? Is that what we're doing?
Sure. And then are we photographing jewelry?
Photograph whatever you like.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I have jewelry. So there's that. Okay. There you go. Anyway, so hopefully that helps. Hopefully I look forward to it. And I'm sure once they start submitting these things, he'll share them with us and we'll put them on the show and see what kind of results we're getting.
Okay.
Because the kids, actually, I've seen some of the images of stuff they've made in the past. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these kids make really great stuff. Like, some of this, like, this guy, this kid made a coat rack, coat hanger, something that you put in your hallway, but made out of, like, designed it, and it was out of, like metal pipe, like, for, like, water pipe and whatnot. Not the copper stuff, but the big metal stuff. Anyways, industrial design stuff. I was like, wow, you can sell that for a lot of money. It looks really cool. So, look forward to seeing some of those designs coming up. All right. Monthly challenge for September is window light. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. And we will talk about that at the end of the month. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Mine, you can find it at AlanAtridge.com. The two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. And hopefully next week I'll have this echo gone. That's my plan.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. No promises. All right, that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.